Chris Leesburg is in from Fisheries and from the Sitka Ranger District, rather, U.S. Forest Service. He's the Fisheries and Wildlife Biologist. Andrew Tomes, Executive Director of Sitka Conservation Society, and Ray Friedlander, Tongass Forest Community Organizer for Sitka Conservation Society. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I hope everybody can hear us okay. Let's just go cut right to the chase. So Kruzoff Island is looking at some possible restoration projects, I guess, through the Forest Service. Is that right, Chris?
That is correct, yeah. So the Forest Service is in the process. Well, starting this mid-winter, we're going to kick off the process for starting some restoration work out there, which means we're going to put some potential actions together. And we're right now trying to work with SES and a collaborative group to come up with some pre-project ideas to help us initiate this.
So what you're going to have a public meeting, Ray, you talked about in January, to kind of start getting public comment on some of the restoration or maybe what people would envision happening out there. Is that correct?
Well, so there's a meeting January 16th at Centennial Hall, and this meeting was put together with the Sitka Collaborative Stewardship Group and the Forest Service to bring together the community, the public, members of organizations to give input or creative ideas for how Kruzoff, or what some potential projects could be on Kruzoff. So the idea is that there haven't been too many projects set in stone so that the community can give a lot of input and there's flexibility in what projects get chosen depending on what the community would like to see happen out on Kruzoff.
And Chris, when you're looking, you guys have obviously, through the collaborative group and then just work that the Forest Service has done and Sitka Conservation Society, you may have some things in mind already. Can you kind of talk about some of the issues out there and maybe what type of projects you're considering?
Yeah, certainly. Like a lot of places that have been harvested in southeast Alaska, Kruzoff went through some clear cutting, and starting in the late 50s through the 70s. So, you know, there wasn't a lot of thought put towards salmon. And so we have some stream issues out there. We have some forest stands that are approaching some what we call exclosure stage. So we're looking at potentially doing some wildlife treatments to help the understory development. We're looking at doing some stream restoration to restore some salmon habitat. And on top of that, we have a huge recreational component out there. There's a lot of people from Sitka that like to go out there and use the old logging roads for ATVing. And we want to include that in our potential work out there.
So stream restoration and recreational use, big use out there. When you do stream restoration, I know it depends on the stream, mm-hmm. but back in the day, you know, they used to drag everything out of the streams and make them all nice and clear.
Yeah, flowing. A lot of times the streams provided the easiest path of resistance, the best way to get out with a log, I guess.
So, right. Yeah. So that's changed. So when you talk about stream restoration out there, could involve some maybe big pieces of equipment being hauled out, or do you know what that kind of looks like? Are you thinking?
Who knows? We're in the initial stage of this, and there is potential that we might have to go that route. Like I said, we're in the initial stage of this, so we're looking at things like that, and you know, we're just trying to incorporate as many ideas as possible. And so this is the kickoff point for that.
Mm-hmm. So, and Ray, could you talk a little bit about the, you mentioned the collaborative group. And before we came on the air, you said that there's been a trip out sort of to check out some of these sites already by some of the members of that group. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so in 2009, there are a bunch of stakeholders from various organizations in Sitka that came together to talk about I believe initially it was with energy, but they came together and realized that there was a disconnect between what the public was seeing and communication with the Forest Service. And so it was almost felt like there were these bubbles and there was no dialogue happening between. And so the Collaborative Stewardship Group came together in an effort to work with all of the stakeholders in Sitka to kind of make conversation happen between those bubbles. And so in July, this past July, the Sitka Collaborative Stewardship Group went out to cruise off for a few hours in some pretty gnarly weather and drove around and checked out all of these potential sites that could be beneficial for the community to see changed, or sites that stakeholders in the Sitka Collaborative Stewardship Group would like to see change. And so it was really unique, too, in the sense that the Forest Service was actually able to hear directly from the people that are using the landscape what they would like to see happen, or different projects that they think would be beneficial for the community, rather than just doing silvicultural treatments, you know, get recreation in there, like wildlife hunting aspects in there. But it was just bringing together a bunch of different perspectives.
So this is sort of the model for the public meeting in January, which is granted a long ways off, but it sounds like there was some pretty good dialogue then this summer.
Yeah, and what's cool too about this project is it's an integrated resource management plan, meaning that...
Okay, that's making me snore. No, just kidding.
It's taking together all of these... So the way that things could typically be done on a landscape, when you're going to manage it, is you could have, you know, fish and wildlife go out and they're going to do something. And it's like you have to ship all the equipment out, the people, and it could take a really long time planning the treatment that's going to happen. Then that's if you're making it a solitary process, or you can involve different departments, different, you know, like the silviculturist or the stream assessors. You can have them all come out together, which reduces the amount of time, has collaboration because all of those different departments within the Forest Service or stakeholders are coming together and talking about what they're going to do. So then the project happens faster. And it's just, you know, collaboration is sexy. It's just like getting different groups together to talk about something rather than have it dictated by one particular mindset.
Or have everyone go and look at it separately without
thinking
of maybe some input that might come from a different user group. Mm-hmm. So Andrew, you're the director of Sitka Conservation Society. Do you feel like your efforts towards collaboration with Forest Service have been pretty successful, and you expect that to keep going forward?
Yeah, I think so. I think we've been really successful at that in Sitka, and we've seen big changes with the Forest Service and with the relations with the public. You know, I think back a decade ago, and folks in Sitka were protesting the Forest Service for not listening to their comments and, you know, putting on street theater in front of the Forest Service, shredding comments that they submitted. And now we're at a point where the Forest Service really wants to hear public input and wants to know, how do you want to see your public lands managed? Mm-hmm. What are priorities for you? How do you benefit from this landscape and our work? And how can we better work together to prioritize this stuff? And there's been a lot of partnerships in the community between the tribe and the Forest Service, with the Conservation Society and the Forest Service, to the point where some outside groups are raising money to help the Forest Service fund some projects that are priorities, like salmon habitat restoration or recreation projects or subsistence monitoring activities and wildlife monitoring programs.
So it sounds like this is just another project of collaboration between a bunch of user groups that hopefully will go really well. What's the timeline for this sort of thing? Like, you're in the initial stages now. So.
Yeah, well, that's a good question. Timeline as far as getting the projects on ground and done, it depends on what types of projects we come up with. In January, beginning of February, we hope to initiate the what we call the NEPA process. I don't want to get too detailed with that and bore some people. But anyways, that's where we basically will reach out to the general public for some comments on the actions that we have come up with. When I say the actions the Forest Service has put together, and these actions will be created through this collaborative group and driven by the forest plan and, you know, basically what our resource specialist saw on the ground out there and what we think people want and incorporate it. And then we'll submit.
Then you'll get your plan together.
We'll get these proposed actions together, send them out for comments. And then we go through the whole process of review and all that kind of stuff. And then we get it back. You know, projects will be on the ground is beginning next year. Next year being 2014, sorry.
Yeah.
Fiscal year 2014.
Right.
And it depends on what type of projects we come up with.
Sure.
We look at recreational projects. If we have, there's been one idea that's been proposed is the bear viewing area in Iris Meadows. And through the collaborative group, I've learned that there's interest in that, and typically they look at the recreational department for that, but wildlife might have funds for that. So I can work with recreation, and maybe we can come up with something. And that might be something that could be implemented relatively quick if there's funding available.
I see.
So it could take a few years. It could be a five-year
ongoing
thing. It depends what the projects are.
Sure. And is there you're the biologist guy, so in your mind, or maybe the Forest Service generally, but is there fisheries and wildlife? Does that the fisheries component have a different importance, I guess, than something else? I mean, how do you kind of figure out what's?
Well, it comes down to funding. Fisheries in Southeast Alaska are generally a high priority, and the Kruzhov area is one of those important landscapes. We have pinks, we have coho. So fisheries is important, but it's all important. A lot of it comes down to what the funding is available and things like that. And but that's why we have the collaborative. We work with the collaborative group. We have a project like Sitco River where it was a high priority for the Forest Service, but we necessarily didn't have all the funds available to do the required work out there. So we work with the collaborative group. We work with Trout Unlimited. We work with Fish and Game, and we come up with additional funds to get a significant project done.
It's finding the money too.
Yeah, so sure. It's hard to say what's a priority. I mean, everything's we look at it, and we might see some things that are a high priority, and we want to get it done. But yeah, it comes down to funding as well. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're just about out of time. You guys mentioned before we opened the mics about a map. Did you want to talk about that quick before we let you get out of here?
We're putting together a map on the Collaborative Stewardship Group website, and we can send y'all a link to link with the interview on what some of the projects are that are going to be planned out there, what the landscape looks like, the Tongass Land Management Plan land use designations for out there, and some of the different ideas that have been proposed on what management is going to happen and what projects are going to happen. And I think we'll even have some photos on the map of what conditions look like on the ground. And I think on that map, folks will be able to comment on some of their ideas right online and give their input back to the Forest Service.
Without actually having to go out and refresh their memories.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, great. And the website for that?
It'll be collaboratesitka.com.
Oh, that's very easy to remember. I want to thank you all for coming in this morning. Chris Leesburg from U.S. Forest Service Fisheries and Wildlife Biologist on the Sitka Ranger District. Andrew Tomes, Executive Director of the Sitka Conservation Society, and Ray Friedlander. She is the Tongass Forest Community Organizer for the Sitka Conservation Society. And just a quick reminder that the first public meeting is scheduled for January 16th. So if you're a plan ahead type person, stick that on your calendar. That'll be at Centennial Hall, and times will be available later.
And we also have the Wild Foods Potluck. The Sitka Conservation Society on November 29th, which is this Thursday, is having its Wild Foods Potluck. So bring your dishes made with your wild catches, Sitkins, and come share some really good food and with everybody in the community and learn what we're doing as an organization. And this can be as fun or like as competitive as you would like with your food dishes. You can. We have five categories that you can submit a dish to: most wild, most creative, most filling, best dessert, and best side. And there will be judges, and it'll be fun. So just come out and have a good time.
I hear it is a hoot.
Yeah. Doors open at 5, and dinner starts at 6, and it's at Centennial Hall.
All right. Well, thanks very much, ladies and gentlemen, for coming in.
Thanks, Chris.
Have a great
day. Thank you.